This is file JY75, the question Mormon missionaries cannot answer. Your speaker is John Henry Yount. This presentation dates from the late 1970s and was remastered as an MP3 in 2013. This recording and many others like it are once again available free of charge from the Ex-Mormons for Jesus MP3 archives. Their website is located at www.emfj.net. Very little Mormon doctrine has changed since the death of Brigham Young, so even though this file was recorded some time ago, virtually all of the information you will hear now is as likely to be just as valid today as when it was first delivered. This file is not copyrighted, and in fact we encourage you to share it freely. And now, the question Mormon missionaries cannot answer.
Well, you're probably going to think I'm making it up, but you're just not going to believe who I called on the telephone the other day.
This is the Watchman of Ezekiel. Now with a word to new Christians, here is John Henry Yount.
Well, perhaps you've heard the story, but I just feel like I have to tell it one more time. You see, I happened to be watching Jerry Falwell the other day, and he had a toll-free number he wanted everybody to call, and well, that's really where the story starts. Who I called the other day? You want me to get to that? You know, every once in a while I get around to what I'm talking about. Bless the Lord. I was watching Jerry Falwell, and he's a powerful preacher, good old Baptist preacher, and he really preaches the Word of God, and I appreciate that so much. I like Baptists. I like the things that Baptists have always taught. Because I believe the Bible, too. I'm not a Baptist, but I'll tell you, honey, I like Baptists. Hallelujah. I like Spirit-filled Baptists. Amen. But anyway, Jerry Falwell gave out this 800 number, and he said, now be sure and call this number, and we'll send you this literature. Well, as it so happens, it was a couple of really nice books that I thought would make delightful gifts. Plus, I would have an opportunity to share with a ministry that I believe in. In fact, I think it's kind of a shame Jerry Falwell is not running for some public office or other, because I think I'd vote for him. Amen, yeah. But I don't want to get into politics here, folks. Anyway, I called the number. And naturally, because that program comes out of Lynchburg, Virginia, out there in the good old Blue Ridge Mountains, I just naturally assumed that I would be contacting some beautiful Christian person back there in Lynchburg, Virginia. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? That's not how it works, though. Something about God moves in mysterious ways. You know where I, maybe you've heard this story, maybe some of you know me have heard this story, but let me run it by you again. Do you know where I wound up calling when I called that 800 number? I learned something, that when you call an 800 number, you're likely to get a couple of places. Well, actually, there's three I can think of. One of them is back in, it's either St. Louis or Kansas City, Missouri. Or, I think, Reno, Nevada. And the other one is Utah. Well, now, what do you... Oh, praise God. Where do you think I wound up calling? Well, there you go. I called up the 800 number, and sure enough, there I was talking to this young lady ordering my books from the old-time gospel hour. And I happened to ask her, where are you right now? She said, oh, I am in Ogden, Utah. Well, Ogden, Utah, about 40 miles north of Salt Lake City. And needless to say, there are Mormons galore. There's a new Mormon temple up there. Lots of Mormons running around Ogden, Utah. So I just naturally assumed, and I just said kind of under my breath, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me this Mormon lady so I can tell her about you. I said, you're a Mormon, aren't you? She said, why, yes, I am. How did you know that? Well, can't imagine how I knew that, Ogden, Utah. Well, not too many Spirit-filled Christians in Ogden, Utah. I had a pretty even chance, I think. So I just kind of asked her about, now you remember I was talking about that witnessing situation? You know, I could have just started coming on to her and giving her a bad time and saying, how can you believe all that stuff, all that nonsense and Mormonism and them gold plates and yada-da-da-da. Well, of course, that doesn't do any good. That just offends people. And what a shame it is that we don't know any better than to offend people. Now, I know they're liable to get offended anyway, and I think perhaps this dear lady did just a little bit. But I asked her what she believed about Mormonism and what she believed about God, and I just felt led to share with her a verse. And I want to tell you, I didn't think this up. First of all, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance this particular verse. And second of all, Reverend John L. Smith, who has been ministering to the Mormon people for over 30 years now, has devised a method that is very simple, can be learned quite easily, to witness to Mormon people. Reverend Smith is going to be out here in California in about a month or two, and I am planning to have him on the program, and you'll just love him. He's about 4.5 feet tall, and he's tough. And Mormon got a chance when Reverend Smith's in town. Hallelujah. But anyway, this was kind of something that he shared, and I'll tell you, It really made the point. I read her this verse, and I want you to listen very carefully now. I don't want you to try and get ahead of me here, and I'm not going to tell you where this is found. I just want you to listen to it. I asked her when she was born again. Well, the first thing a Mormon will tell you, if you ask them when they've been born again, is they'll tell you, well, I was baptized when I was 8 years old. Well, I emphasize, that's not what I said. I said, when were you born again? By the way, Mormons are not born again for the very simple reason that they don't believe the Holy Spirit is God. And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and therefore you cannot be born again. Amen. Well, I read her this verse. Now, this gentleman that's doing the talking here in this story was not baptized. So to say baptism is to be born again does not conform with the story. Now listen to this. Just listen now. For said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. Doesn't say anything about water. This man was not baptized. He's born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, must be born again. Born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness. And thus they become new creatures. I said, lady, when were you born again? She said, well, you know, you get that stuff out of the Bible. I said, nope. That's in the Book of Mormon. In fact, that's found in the 27th chapter of a book called Mosiah in the Book of Mormon. And it says, and I told her, I said, lady, it says in your own book, you cannot make it unless you've been born again. Have you ever been born again as described in your own book? Well, I must commend her for her honesty. She said, well, no, I really haven't. I said, how would you like to be? Well, apparently that just wasn't God's timing, because a lot of other people came in. Her supervisor started getting on her for being on the phone for so long. But praise God, I planted a doubt. And what we're going to be discussing this week, and it's a point that will help you in any confrontation, any witnessing situation with a Mormon, I want you to remember it above everything else. Well, except that Jesus loves them and he died for them, and they're worth winning. But remember this. The Book of Mormon does not teach what the Mormons believe. I'll say it again. The Book of Mormon does not teach what the Mormon believes. Would you please commit that to memory? because we're going to be talking about it on this next series of programs coming up. The Book of Mormon doesn't teach what the Mormon believes. That's what you might call on the street a bit of a mind blower, isn't it? Maybe you never thought of that. Now, I don't want you to run out and buy a Book of Mormon and find out for yourself. Trust me. We'll talk about it tomorrow. In the meantime, if any of these false cult missionary teachers come to your house, 2 John 10 means exactly what it says. Please don't let them in. Today we're continuing with the argument the Mormon missionaries can't answer.
This is the Watchman of Ezekiel. Now with a word to new Christians, here is John Henry Yount.
Praise God. Another day to talk about the magnificent love of the Lord Jesus Christ and to warn you about the threat of false religious systems. The cults, we call them, and actually, as we say so many times, it's not that we're sticking our tongue out at anybody. It's just that that's a word that means a religion that sounds very Christian, that at the very center of what they believe is the wrong Jesus. In fact, if I may use the word, lurks the wrong Jesus. Because, you know, Paul says that if you're not worshiping the one and only true, the living God, do you know that you are worshiping the devil? Did you know that? The Bible says that. If you're not worshiping the true and living God, you are worshiping not false gods. No, you're not worshiping false gods. Oh, outwardly, it may seem that there's the worship of false gods going on, but you know, it's the worship of the devil that's going on. And since we don't feel that he deserves a bit of worship and that God deserves all the worship, we want you to know better. And that's why we're here, to try and vaccinate you, especially you new Christians who are just sitting ducks for religious quacks. We want you to know that you can know how to spot somebody that is a false teacher. What we're talking about this week is the argument the Mormon missionaries really can't answer. I get so many letters from people. In spite of my numerous warnings, in spite of all the time I spend coming on here on the radio and telling you, do not let the Mormon missionaries in the door, I get letters every day from people that say, I let the Mormon missionaries in the door and I didn't win the argument. Well, let's take a moment here to act surprised. Okay, that's enough. Of course you didn't. Shame on you for letting them in the first place. I've told you not to, and the Bible says not to. You know, 2 John 10, where it says don't let them in, you know what that really means is false teachers into the Christian assembly. Well, you can take it a step further. False teachers in their capacity as teachers have no business teaching Christians anywhere at any time. So don't let them in. And if you do, don't be surprised if they pull a fast one on you. Anyway, we're talking about the argument that they can't answer. And I use the argument, the term argument, only in its limited sense of disputing in the biblical sense of lovingly, caringly showing someone the error of his ways and pointing him to Calvary. We're not here just to win an argument. If I wanted to win an argument, I'm sure I could hire somebody to carry a big gun and walk around with me and I'd win all my arguments. Till I ran into somebody with a bigger gun. Hear about the fellow that was worried about being mugged when he moved to New York, so he got a German Shepherd. His first night out on the town, he ran into a mugger with a rhinoceros. Well, it's kind of like that. We're not here to argue. We're not here to fight. But disputing, the good old biblical kind of disputing with a good old biblical dose of godly boldness, pointing the sinner to Calvary. Well, that's in my Bible. Nothing wrong with that. Well, you know, the argument that the Mormon missionaries can't answer is simply the Book of Mormon doesn't teach a single thing that Mormonism teaches. Now, I emphasize so many times, I don't want Christians to own a copy of the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon has no business in a Christian home. Neither does the Ouija board, or crystal balls, or tarot cards, or horoscopes, or anything that is from the pit. Don't have a Book of Mormon. Just keep this under your hat. And if you're in a witnessing situation with a Mormon, all you do is very lovingly say, now, first of all, I like to give you the wrong way, so you got your fail-safe already. The wrong way to do it would be, the Book of Mormon doesn't even teach what you believe. That's the wrong way. Now, no matter what you say after that, you've lost because they've tuned you out, and that's the end of you. No, you just ask them what they believe. Ask them what they believe about God. You know, they believe God is an exalted, perfected man. That's what the Mormon believes. You see, when he's talking about God, he is talking about an exalted, perfected man. A God who used to be a man. He used to live on a planet just like this planet, and he progressed and he got married. Maybe he's married to hundreds of women right now. He progressed to the point of where he became a God. He was ordained a God by his father, who was a God before him, who used to be a man, who had a God over him, who used to be a man, who had a God over him, who used to be a man, and on back and on back and on back. Mormons like to teach that it goes back forever. Except that one of their early Mormon apostles commented on how exciting it would be to meet that first God. Well, praise God, I've met him. Hallelujah. How about you? Anyway, the Mormon believes that God is married. Now, I'm not being facetious. That's what they really believe. They believe that God is married. He is a literal heavenly parent. There is just as much a mother in heaven as there is a father in heaven. And God has a physical relationship. He has physical intercourse with his wives, and each time he does, it produces a little spirit baby. While down here on the earth, all the faithful Mormon males are having relationships with their wives to prepare little baby bodies for the little spirit babies that God and his wife have had. Well, if this sounds like I'm making it up, or if it sounds like it's not the God that you worship, then amen. That amen. That has nothing to do with the God I worship either. But you see, in Mormonism, it's so important to realize God is a man, a physical man. He has a body just like we do. Oh, it's a perfected body, but he has a body just like we do, of flesh and bone. And he wasn't always God. There was a time when he was a man. There was a time when he died and he was resurrected. And there are lots and lots of gods out there. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, they don't worship all those gods, but they believe they're there. Well, let's take a look at what the Book of Mormon has to say about as far as God being a man with a body of flesh and bone. Now, I'm going to read from the Book of Mormon. You do not have to have a Book of Mormon to follow along. That doesn't matter. I'm just trying to make the point that the Book of Mormon does not teach what the Mormons teach. And if you're a Mormon, all you have to do now is live with it. Or acknowledge the fact that there's something the matter when your own book teaches something that you don't believe. Now, remember, we were talking about Mormonism, and God is an exalted man. He has wives. He's got a physical body. What does the Book of Mormon say? I'm in the 18th chapter of Alma here. It says, "Believest thou that there is a God? Believest thou that there is a great Spirit? And he said, yea. Now, of course, the Book of Mormon's in King James English. That's why I tell you, when witnessing to a Mormon, use the King James Version of the Bible. If you don't, well, you've already lost. But anyway, we go on here in this discussion. And Ammon, this character, said, this great spirit is God. He said unto him again, believest thou that this great spirit who is God created all things? This great spirit? Well, that doesn't say anything about a man, an exalted man. Well, let's move over here to the 22nd chapter here of Alma in the Book of Mormon. We're reading from the Book of Mormon. And as I say, I don't want you to run out and buy a Book of Mormon. I just want to give you the idea that the Book of Mormon does not teach what the Mormon believes. Well, here he says, the king said, is God that great spirit? And he said unto him, yea, he is that great spirit, and he created all things. I believe that the great spirit created all things. The great spirit. That great spirit who is God. Well, you see, what I'm trying to say here is that the Book of Mormon does not teach what the Mormon believes. If it sounds like I'm repeating that over and over and over again, it's because it's so important. And I'll tell you why it's so important that you realize the Book of Mormon does not teach Mormonism. There are two reasons. Number one, you won't be tempted to go out and buy a Book of Mormon because I don't want Christians to have that book. It would probably put you to sleep anyway. The other reason is that that is the one argument the Mormon missionaries can't answer. They can't point you to a single solitary verse in the Book of Mormon that teaches anything about what they believe. It is the argument the Mormon missionaries can't answer. We'll continue our discussion tomorrow. Well, you know, confession is good for the soul, so I'm going to confess now. I've been telling you here in the last couple of programs that the Book of Mormon does not teach anything that the Mormons believe. It doesn't even talk about it. In fact, we've entitled this series, The Argument That the Mormon Missionaries Can't Answer, and that argument is quite simply that the Book of Mormon does not teach what Mormonism teaches. Doesn't even mention it. There's not a single doctrine of Mormonism mentioned in the Book of Mormon. Well, that's not true. I want to read you something here from, now, the Book of Mormon, you see, is supposed to sound just like the King James Bible. And in many places it does, because it has used large sections of the King James Bible. It's large portions of Isaiah and Matthew and so forth to make it sound very biblical. Also, I bring this out to emphasize once again, when you're witnessing to a Mormon, always use the King James Version of the Bible. I hope I've driven that point home now. King James Bible sales should have gone up drastically by now. Okay. Anyway, I was telling you that the Book of Mormon doesn't even mention the doctrines of Mormonism. Well, I am in error. And let me read to you now from a book called The Book of Jacob in the Book of Mormon. And again, I emphasize, don't run down and buy a Book of Mormon. You don't need to buy a Book of Mormon to assimilate what I'm telling you on this series of broadcasts, that the Book of Mormon does not teach Mormonism. That's all you have to know. And when you're in a witnessing situation with a Mormon and you think, boy, they've got all the answers. No, they don't. The end of the discussion comes when you say, could you show me where it says that? In the Book of Mormon, well, that's it. They can't. Well, there is one doctrine of Mormonism that's mentioned in the Book of Mormon, and it's polygamy. You know, Brigham Young had, well, over 50 wives that we know of. And after he died, there were hundreds of women sealed to him so that they might be his wives when he becomes a god in heaven. Polygamy was a very big thing in Utah, and it is still being practiced in some cities in Utah. Bountiful Utah especially comes to mind. Thousands of polygamous families in Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona, and in Old Mexico. There's a Mormon colony down there with lots of polygamous people running around. So Mormonism, from just about its inception, has taught polygamy. Well, you see, here is the fallacy of my reasoning. When I tell you the Book of Mormon doesn't mention anything that that Mormonism teaches, well, by George, I am wrong. It does mention polygamy. Here in the second chapter of Jacob, it says, "But the word of God burdens me because of your grosser crimes. For behold, thus saith the Lord, this people begin to wax in iniquity. They understand not the scriptures, for they seek to excuse themselves in committing whoredoms because of the things which were written concerning David, Solomon, that is David and Solomon, his son. Behold," now here we are in the Book of Mormon, and this is God speaking here, supposedly, "Behold, David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines, which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord." Yes, the Book of Mormon does mention a doctrine of Mormonism. It mentions polygamy, and it utterly, utterly condemns it. Did that sink in? The Book of Mormon speaks out on only one doctrine that Mormonism teaches, and it condemns it. "Which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord?" Do you know, out of the four books that the Mormons consider their so-called standard works, the four books that the Mormon people consider scripture, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, out of those four books, do you know what? Out of those four, there's only one that condemns polygamy. And that one is the Book of Mormon. Now I see here in one of these books I have that somebody went to the trouble of writing the Mormon apostle LeGrand Richards in Salt Lake City. And as of this taping, Mr. Richards is still alive. He's a very old man, seems to be spry in his old age, at least at the time I'm recording this. I believe he's about 93 or 94 now and still going strong. And they wrote to LeGrand Richards to ask him, because if anybody would know, a 93-year-old Mormon apostle would certainly know the answer. And they wanted to know, why is it that the Book of Mormon says that polygamy was an abomination before God, and yet the Doctrine and Covenants says that God allowed polygamy? And as a matter of fact, Brigham Young said that you can't possibly become a god without polygamy. that marriage to many women makes gods in heaven, but marriage to only one woman makes servants in heaven. Well, they wrote to Apostle LeGrand Richards of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church headquarters in Salt Lake City, and they said, Elder Richards, could you explain this discrepancy? Why is it the Book of Mormon teaches polygamy is a no-no, and the subsequent revelations of Joseph Smith found in the Doctrine and Covenants say that polygamy is okay? Well, you know, I got to kind of admire LeGrand Richards for being honest, at least in this one instance, because you know what he said? He said he didn't know. He said, I cannot explain the discrepancy. Or I think he perhaps called it the apparent discrepancy. He couldn't explain it either. And neither can the Mormon missionaries. Oh, they've got a lot of good arguments. They point to David and Solomon in the Bible. But, you know, I'll tell you what I do. I say, you know, you got so many books here, boys. And I'm not backing up on what I tell you. New Christians should not be talking to the Mormon missionaries. But Christians, you should get ready to learn how to minister to anybody in any circumstance. That's our job. That's our only job, is to witness for Jesus Christ. But anyway, I say, fellas, you got so many books here. My goodness, I'm liable to get confused with all these books you're using, whereas I only use this one book here. So let's confine our discussion to one book. And then I pull out the Book of Mormon. Well, then they think they're not ready for me. And I get them into this Book of Mormon, and I make them show me, where does it say polygamy is all right in the Book of Mormon? Where does it say God wants me to have more than one wife? It doesn't. It doesn't say it at all. No, behold, it says in the second chapter of Jacob here in the Book of Mormon, David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines, which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord. And that's just a part of the argument that the Mormon missionaries can't answer. If you ever hope to witness effectively to your Mormon friends, your Mormon neighbors, your Mormon family, your Mormon husband, or your Mormon wife, there's one thing you're going to have to know that is so supremely important. You're going to have to know the one argument the Mormon missionaries can't answer.
This is the Watchman of Ezekiel. Now with a word to new Christians, here is John Henry Yount.
Well, this week we're talking about the argument the Mormon missionaries can't answer. You know, you think they've got an answer for everything. Maybe that's how they overwhelm people. They seem to have a quick answer for everything. Well, they are well-trained, some of them. I don't think they're as well-informed as the Jehovah's Witnesses ministers seem to be, but there are some of them that are pretty well-informed. But, you know, the thing that we're discussing this week, the one thing that is so important to remember when you're witnessing to a Mormon is that their own book, the Book of Mormon, does not teach what they believe. Now, we discussed, for example, polygamy. Polygamy is one of the foundational pillars of Mormonism. There's no getting around it. Polygamy is a part of Mormonism. I have a signed statement at home by a Mormon elder in Salt Lake City. And it says, yes, polygamy is a part of the everlasting gospel. It always will be. I know this to be true. It is taught in the Mormon Church. And he signed it, put his address on it. Polygamy is a part of Mormonism. Unfortunately, and as I say, that's the Mormons' problem, that's not our problem, the Book of Mormon soundly condemns polygamy. Says you can't do it. It says God says you can't do it. Well, let's look at some other things. We talked about the fact that there's many gods. You know, Mormonism teaches there's many gods. Oh, they say we don't worship all those gods, but we believe they're out there. Well, whether you worship them or not, you know, God says that no other god shall be named among you. He doesn't say, oh, just don't worship them. He says you can't even acknowledge that there is any other god, number one, because there isn't. And number two, because he told you not to. Well, the Mormons, of course, they believe there are many gods. And all the Mormon men that you meet who are actively involved in Mormonism hope to become a god someday. They hope to become a literal heavenly parent, because that's who God is to Mormons. He is our eternal father in a literal sense. He has a literal eternal mother, an eternal wife, that is, who is our eternal mother. And he has a set of parents who are gods somewhere, and they have a set of parents, and he has brothers, and he has sisters, and they're all gods and goddesses running around out there. And it's really quite a time. What does the Book of Mormon have to say about it, though? You know, the Book of Mormon, well, let's see what it has to say. Are there many gods in the Book of Mormon? Now, here's a little story about a fella named Zizrom and another fella named Amulek. Now, the Book of Mormon is just filled with names that anybody that has studied Hebrew at all can understand readily, that they have no proper derivation whatsoever, that they're just a mishmash of names. But anyway, these two characters are talking here, and it says, Amulek said unto him, yea, if it be according to the Spirit of the Lord which is in me, for I shall say nothing which is contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. Well, there you are. This man is dependable. He's going to speak the words that God gives him. Well, let's see what he says. Thou sayest there is a true and living God. Amulek said, yea, there is a true and living God. Zizrom said, is there more God than one? Now, this is important because we're in the Book of Mormon here, and we want to find out, is the Book of Mormon true? Is it teaching us a true concept of who God is? Is Mormonism right when it says there are many gods and someday we're going to become gods if we follow Mormonism? Is that really true? Well, let's see. Is there more than one God? And here I am in the Book of Mormon in the 11th chapter of Alma. And he answered, no.
What?
He answered, no. Now Zizrom said unto him, how knowest thou these things? How do you know there's only one God? And he said, an angel hath made them known unto me, for he said, there is but one God. You may search the scriptures, the Mormon scriptures, that is, from beginning to end. And as far as the Book of Mormon is concerned, you will find only one God. In fact, I'll take it a step further than that. I'll go down here a little further in the 11th chapter of Alma in the Book of Mormon. Alma, by the way, means virgin. It's a woman's name, but in the Book of Mormon, it's a man's name. A lot of men in Utah named Alma. Ugh. It says, now this, let's see. It says, now shall be brought and be arraigned before the bar of Christ the Son and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, which is one eternal God. Well, that's wonderful. We've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're one eternal God. Doesn't that sound good? But you got a problem, because that's not what Mormonism teaches. Mormonism teaches that God is an exalted man, that he has a literal son, Jesus Christ, who is separate from him. He's his son, who did not always exist. Well, for that matter, God didn't always exist in Mormonism. And then we have the Holy Ghost here, and we're not exactly sure where he came from, but there he is. And they are three separate individuals, not the one God of the Christian triune God. And yet here in the Book of Mormon, he is one eternal God. Let me look around some more here. How about over in Mosiah chapter 15? You know, in the original handwritten version of the Book of Mormon, the name Mosiah in the Book of Mormon, if you happen to have ever seen the Book of Mormon, or maybe you are a Mormon or were a Mormon, was written out as an attempt to spell Messiah. But poor old Cowdery, he was supposedly a school teacher, but he couldn't spell worth beans. And he came up with Mosiah. Well, let's see here. Here's a fella named Abinani that tells us that God himself shall come down among the children of men. God himself? Well, that's the incarnation. You know what they did to this man for preaching the incarnation here? They killed him. They burned him. And he was a prophet of God. The only trouble is Mormonism doesn't teach the incarnation. They don't teach that God himself came down among the children of men. Well, let's see what else he says about here. Because he dwelleth in the flesh, he shall be called the Son of God, having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son. You know, the Book of Mormon, not only does the Book of Mormon not teach that there are three persons in the one God, but it teaches what is called, and we've discussed this before, what we call the Sabellian heresy. You may remember we discussed that on our programs on the Trinity. That is that somehow God is, for a while he's God, and then he puts on another suit of clothes and he becomes the Son, but because he's flesh, he's the Son, but he's still God, and like that. That's what the Book of Mormon teaches, but that's not what Mormonism teaches. And that is just a part of the argument the Mormon missionaries can't answer. The Book of Mormon knows nothing about many gods. The Book of Mormon knows nothing about polygamy being all right. The Book of Mormon knows nothing about we can become gods. The Book of Mormon knows nothing about the Mormon priesthoods, the Mormon First Presidency. Think of a doctrine of Mormonism that is exclusively Mormon. It's not in the Book of Mormon. And if you remember that, you'll have a greater chance of witnessing to your Mormon friends, because when they start telling you these things, let them talk, give them enough rope, as the saying goes, and then ask them to show you in the Book of Mormon where it says that. And I'll tell you something. When they finally get to the point where they can't find it in there, it's confusing to them. And you can show them the way. You can point them to Calvary. And that's why we're here.
There is beauty all around when you're born.